I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
And the truth, by the way, is I'm really close to being going out to restaurants and traveling and not worrying about it because I got my first shot. I was at the pharmacy. I mentioned this late in the show yesterday. At the pharmacy, picking up prescriptions at like 5 o'clock on Saturday night. And I said, hey, is it true that you sometimes have leftover vaccines? And she said, I've got 8 of them. So I was like, me and Juan both got our vaccines, which means in 28 days, we will have both of them. And John, as promised, I will then live my best life.
Yeah, you know, I've already doing that. You're kind of being a wuss about this. Get out there with the rest of the people. Did you see in Texas? They're just calling it off. It's game over. The governor of Texas just said no more virus. Everything 100% open.
Well, you can say stuff, but that doesn't mean it's true.
No, he announced it today. Everything 100% open, and he's leaving it up to the individual restaurants whether they want to, like, open to full capacity or 25. But no state-mandated guidelines in Texas anymore.
But here's the thing, John. I'm going to do anything I want after that. I'm going to go to Dodgers opening day. I'm going to go to Laker games. I'm going to go to either Costa Rica or Hawaii in April. I mean, I'm just going to bust out. But I've been very, very nervous about going out because I've had a couple of friends die, and that really changed my perspective on it. But I'm like, hell, once I got them, screw it. I'm like 95% protected or whatever that thing is. So I'm good.
Yeah, and I think that it'll be interesting to see what, like you said, you'll go to Dodgers opening day.
What? Well, I guess I can't go to Dodgers opening day because it's an afternoon game, but I'll go to the second game.
Second game. Apparently, tickets for these, you know, because they're not letting a lot of people in, are pretty outrageous. Like, what is too much to pay for a Dodger ticket? Would you pay a grand?
No, I mean that's like
all right, 800.
That's like Game 7 of the World Series.
What did you pay for Game 7 that one year? You ridiculously overpaid to go to Game 7.
$2,000 a ticket.
$2,000.
Yeah.
No, I don't think that's. I think you.
Oh,
could,
I think that's outrageous.
Well, it is, but you paid it. So
I did.
It's supply and demand.
And then we lost almost right away.
Right. So, but it's supply and demand. Now opening day, particularly if the Dodgers announce they're going to raise the banner.
Yep.
Wait till you see what those tickets go for.
Oh, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. And yesterday we talked about, and I think they should unveil the World Series banner.
If they're fans there, I agree. I really like what the Lakers did. They gave the players their rings, but they said, we're saving the banner for when we have fans. I would do that if I was the Dodgers, too. I'd follow the Lakers' lead.
Yeah, me too. And I think that we're getting to that point. I think we're getting to the point where you know, so many people are getting vaccines. I think it's like 50 million people are going to be vaccinated by the end of March. You know, we're getting to the point where, you know, you're going to be able to go to a Dodgers game in a limited capacity, but going to a Dodgers game. You're going to be able to go, I think, to a Lakers playoff game at some point. And, John, you laugh at me, but once I get my vaccine, I'm going to argue that I can go back to the studio.
Yeah, you'll be there by yourself, but
that's good. But I'll be able to press the buttons and help Jorge, because right now it's like, Jorge, do you have this thing? Do you have this? Jorge, will it not help for me to be there to press
God,
a button?
No, don't ask him. He doesn't want you there.
Come on, just
will that not help?
At least.
Oh, Jorge, answer honestly. If we left it up to you whether or not Mason comes in, would you say yes or no?
I would say yes, because it's lonely in here. Nobody's in here right now.
Right.
Yeah, just me and Jorge against the world.
Michael and I are in there. Michael and I will be in there tonight. Or no, tomorrow night. We'll be at Staples tonight, and we'll be in there tomorrow night. So you've been living a closed life. The rest of us are kind of halfway there already.
I told you, it's a choice. That's right. The choice I made. But now I'm telling you, we were looking at going to Costa Rica in April now.
Boy,
we're looking at traveling.
Have you looked into it already or not yet?
Yeah, I looked into it.
Are the prices either super high or super low?
Super low. Super okay. low.
Even the flights?
Yeah, flights super low.
So
people haven't really been going out. They've not been venturing out very much.
Yeah, I'm very jealous of James Worthy. I played golf with him today. He leaves tomorrow for Hawaii.
Oh!
Actually, he's going to work the Spectrum game on Wednesday night. So tomorrow
now you
got
to have a COVID test to get into Hawaii.
Yeah, he's all over it. He's going for like 12 days, and I'm incredibly jealous.
Nice. Where are you going? Like some fancy local resort?
We're going to Del Mar. Hotel where I've never been. Yeah. Lisa didn't want to get on a plane. I told her I would get on a plane, but she didn't want to.
But you're not a get on a plane guy anyway.
No, but I've been on a plane since the pandemic started. I flew to Idaho and back.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
But she doesn't want to get on a plane.
Yeah. So Don, I wanted to kind of lead off with this.
This game tonight, by the way, is a gigantic, before you go wherever you're going to go, is a gigantic game. Just let me do like a 15-second promo.
Do it.
Phoenix is the hottest team in the NBA other than Utah, and Utah lost again last night, so I would put Phoenix right there with them. They were 12-3 in the month of February. Devin Booker was named NBA Player of the Month earlier today. Devin Booker, Chris Paul, DeAndre Ayton. This is a legitimately great Phoenix team. They come in 22-11. The Lakers are 24-11. So if Phoenix wins, they're basically tied. Real game. Mace, can I convince you not to get stoned until at least the third quarter tonight so you can enjoy the first half in a normal state?
Let me just say, do you really think I don't enjoy the games after I've had my choice of Granddaddy Purple OG?
Yeah, that's
good.
But
the,
I mean,
the games are very enjoyable. Very enjoyable. Yeah. No, I've got my head in the game. I've just got my head in a lot of places.
Yeah,
all
exactly.
Simultaneously. Exactly. So earlier this, I guess it was last week, I was talking about the number of minutes LeBron James has played. He played the third most minutes in the league. Right now, he's played the fourth most minutes in the league.
Yeah.
It goes Julius Randle, Fred VanVleet, Nikola Jokic, and then LeBron has played 1,208 minutes. But, something was called to my attention by our friends at Silver Screen and Roll, one of the really good blogs that follows the Lakers. I want to make sure we give credit. LeBron James is still playing a career low 34.5 minutes per game. That is 21st in the league. Now, what I don't understand is, how can two things be true? How can LeBron James have played the fourth most minutes in the league and then also be 21st in minutes per game?
Easy. How many minutes did LeBron play on Sunday?
Low, 24?
Right. So it's the average of how many minutes he plays all the time. So if a guy plays, like Jimmy Butler normally plays like 38 minutes a game every year.
Right.
Now he had COVID, so he missed some games.
Yeah, and he's got a knee thing right now too.
Right, and normally, if you play for Tom Thibodeau, like you mentioned, one of those guys is from the Knicks. Was it Randle?
Julius Randle.
If Tom Thibodeau is in the league, one of his players will lead. Tom Thibodeau does not believe in minute restrictions. He just plays.
Right.
He just plays guys max minutes all the time. So it'll always be a guy on a Thibodeau team. And then LeBron, some nights he plays 38, 39 minutes, and in the overtime games, sometimes 40. But on a night like Sunday, when they're playing Golden State, he won't even hit 25.
Right.
So that's how both things can be true. He can be because the average is affected by games like Sunday.
So does this mean we don't have to worry about LeBron's minutes at all?
I don't worry about LeBron's minutes ever because I know how much work he puts into conditioning. You can't avoid injury. Like he could get.
Oh, it's not. That would never be the reason. You can't protect against injury. I'm complete agreeing. It's just you want to be as fresh as possible when you get to May 22nd, and then June and into July. That's when you want – those are the games that really matter. These games don't matter nearly as much. They're 7-5 without Anthony Davis. So they're swimming at about a couple of games over 500. But I just want him to be – I want him to be as fresh as possible when the games actually mean something.
I don't think that's something that you need to worry about. He is, when the chips are down, when the games, like, let's put it this way. LeBron spent his whole career in the finals.
Yes.
For whatever reason, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard are both great players.
Yeah.
But for the past couple of years, and it happened again on Sunday, when the game's on the line, those guys tend to fade. Like they struggle.
Oh yeah, lately, playoff especially, P. Hit the side of the backboard.
Yeah, especially Paul George. LeBron does the opposite. LeBron kind of is at his best when the game is on the line, and if LeBron was to start doing what Paul George and Kawhi have been doing for the past couple of years, then I think you have reason to worry. But he's always good at the end of games. So there you go.
So last night, the Brooklyn Nets won.
Yeah.
That is seven.
Had to go overtime.
Seven triple-doubles for James Harden since arriving in Brooklyn. That is the most in a Nets season since Jason Kidd was playing. They're on a six-game winning streak, I think.
The Nets? Six,
yeah, the Nets.
No, they lost the other day, but they were on an eight-game winning streak before that.
Before they lost. Yeah. Okay. So, you know, somebody asked me this question, and I still believe, I'm in a minority, I still believe that it's going to be Philly in the finals. Joel Embiid has just been fantastic this year.
Right.
And as long as he's healthy, I don't think there's a really good matchup for him in Brooklyn.
But what's the matchup for Durant?
Is Durant ever going to be Durant again?
Yeah. He is. Look at his
numbers. I was talking to two people yesterday. They're like, I don't know if Durant's going to be Durant again.
Well, when he was playing, you know, he hasn't been playing lately.
He hasn't been playing.
When he was playing, he was the old Durant.
He was scoring like 29 points a game.
Yeah.
In those games that he did play.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are saying, will he ever be that guy again? That's a guy who I think, you know, they should wrap and bubble wrap for the most part and keep him for the playoffs. But I you know, here's my question. Should the Lakers, and again, for people that believe it's going to be the Nets, and that's you, John, and that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Should the Lakers be afraid of the Brooklyn Nets?
I think it will be an unbelievable finals if it happens. Because think about this. The Lakers are the number one defensive team in the NBA right now.
Defensive rating, 104.5, best in the league.
Right. The Nets, since they traded for Harden, their offense is through the roof. I mean, it's just ridiculous. So something has to give. Will the Lakers be able to hold the Nets' offense down for 4 out of 7 games? Or is the Nets' offense so good that it won't matter? Because the Nets' defense is average. Laker offense is pretty good.
Average to bad. It's been better, but it's average to bad.
And here's what I think might swing it. Okay, so have you ever heard of the term defensive win shares?
Yes, I have. LeBron is second in the league in defensive win shares as an individual player.
Yeah, he's now tied for first with Rudy Gobert. They both have 2.4. Now, like, Giannis is fourth, Embiid is fifth, Anthony Davis is seventh. You know, those other guys, Gobert, Giannis, AD, Embiid, those are the guys that get mentioned for Defensive Player of the Year every
year.
Sure. I'm telling you, Mace, and I don't think people are taking me seriously. If LeBron plays defense the way he's played over the last two games, he should be on the all-defense team.
Yeah.
Watch him play defense tonight. He has some – I don't know if he got mad at the four-game losing streak, if he realized that defensively, without AD, he has to become the best defender on the court,
right.
And he just has that club in his bag, and he's going to it. But he's in every passing lane. I think tonight there are going to be times where he ends up guarding Devin Booker, because I mean, you normally wouldn't do that. You'd put you put KCP or Schroeder on Booker, but LeBron is so active on defense, and he's not just guarding people, he's blocking shots, he's creating steals.
Yeah.
And like I've talked about, if the Lakers create steals, create live ball turnovers, LeBron is, for my money, the best open — we can ask Michael when he gets here if he agrees with this — the best open court player in the history of the NBA. This used to be something that Michael Jordan was great at. If you created a steal, Jordan would just take off. Same thing with Scottie Pippen. And if those guys got the ball on a break, they would just take it right to the rim and dunk it or lay it
right
in. That's LeBron. If you okay, watch
but the defense right now is the thing he's not getting credit for. You mentioned, I saw that exact stat, the defensive win shares, whatever the F that is. He is set. You say he's tied now with Rudy
2.
Gobert?
2.4, yeah.
Here's 2.4.
Rudy Gobert, 2.4. LeBron, 2.4. Julius Randle, Giannis, and Embiid, third, fourth, fifth.
Yeah, and to me, that's the thing, and you just said it, not getting enough credit for. And in the MVP race, to me, that's a deciding factor. The deciding factor is, that he's and Embiid plays great defense too. But the fact that LeBron is carrying a team likely to the finals and is playing that level of defense, to me, is the deciding factor in MVP voting.
Right, and he's played, and LeBron's played in every game.
Yes.
You know, for example, LeBron has played in 36 games. That's more than anybody.
Yeah.
That's more than, I mean, or he's played in 35 games. But I don't know anybody who's played more than 35. For example, Joel Embiid, who you point out is having a great year, has played in 29 games.
Yeah, yeah.
So, but and by the way, can I say something about the MVP race, or do you want me to hold it?
Yeah, hold it. We got we can talk about it with Max Kellerman, who's coming up next.
Yeah, I'll be curious what Max thinks about this, because there's something going on with the MVP race that's absurd, and we'll get into it with Max.
And by the way, 877-710-ESPN, anytime you want to jump in, if you get on the air, Jorge, if you get on the air, you win a Mason and Ireland t-shirt. 877-710-ESPN.
Anything we say
that you react to. Yeah, you don't have one?
I don't have a Mason and Ireland
I don't have
t-shirt.
One either. I don't have one either. What's wrong here? All right, for all you Laker fans, we have got the ultimate game for your man cave. John, you actually kind of have a man cave.
I do.
I do not. I do not have a man cave. I've got lots of space, but not a man cave. In celebration of the All-Star Game, which is happening this Sunday, we are giving away a Lakers edition Papa Shot arcade basketball game. So you got, just like you play at Dave and Buster's or wherever you go, we're giving away a Papa Shot game. Make sure to listen this Thursday
two,
and Friday.
Actually.
Two
not
of them.
Just one, two.
Okay.
One
yeah,
each day.
Thursday and Friday for your chance to win your very own Lakers edition Papa Shot arcade game. We will give one away each day. Visit papashot.net. for more information. That's really cool. So make sure you keep listening for that. Mason and Ireland, Max Kellerman coming up next for you, 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
The only person who loves himself more than me, Max yeah. Kellerman, is on the line. Max, what are you doing, man?
I wasn't aware we were in love at all, Steve.
No, I'm saying you love you more than I
you
love me, which is saying something.
You ruined the whole joke. You ruined the whole joke.
Yeah, he didn't take the off ramp. I know what you were doing there, Max. Hey, Max, I was just about to say something about the MVP, and I waited until you came on because I want to know what you think of it. There seems to be some discussion now, some movement, that James Harden should be considered for MVP because of what he's done for the Nets. I love James Harden, but you cannot give the MVP to a guy who intentionally played so bad that he forced his team to trade him. I don't care if Harden averages 40, 20, and 15 the rest of the way. James Harden can't be in the MVP race, can he?
Yeah, I don't think the answer is no, but not for the reasons you're saying. I think it's not because, well, he forced the trade, because we all knew what he was doing there. It's because he didn't play those games for that team. So right. How are you going to be more valuable than someone who played all the games for their team? First of all, I don't love the MVP. The regular season MVP award is kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, like
they should include the playoffs. You're right.
In a league that, I mean, come on, guys. In a league where it's 16 out of 30 teams make the playoffs, but guys, now with the playing games, 2/3 of the league is playing in the postseason. 2/3 of the league. So right. No MVP will ever come from a non-playoff team. So what are we doing here? We're going to ignore the highest leverage games? So James Harden's basically either the MVP or close to it of the regular season every single year. He needs to be the best player. In order to be the best player in basketball, you got to win a championship. and he has not yet done that. But I'll say this, guys, for the first time, watching James Harden, first time watching James Harden, I feel like I'm watching the best player in the game. It feels to me like he's playing the best basketball of his career. It's like LeBron James with a better shot. That's what it feels like watching him right now.
Max, the difference is that, and nobody's paying attention to it. I don't know if you guys have gotten the memo, but look up LeBron's defensive statistics this year. LeBron is playing championship-level defense. Harden doesn't play any defense. So, I mean, you're on defense half the time.
That's not true anymore. Like, he's not LeBron as a defender, don't get me wrong. And that's half the game. You know, like, people ignore that far too often. But Harden's a pretty good defender, actually. Like, and he's kind of still fat and out of shape. And he's a pretty good defender. He has active hands. He gets into passing lanes. He's obviously a good post defender. He's not LeBron. Here's the thing about LeBron that's crazy. When you think about the best defensive players ever, if you want to include sort of like most versatile, LeBron is a version of Dennis Rodman in a way. You know, he's not going to dive on for the loose balls the same way, but he does the same kind of stuff Dennis Rodman did in the sense that he can legit guard all five positions.
Hey, so Max, everybody here is general, and everybody across the country seems to be on the net. I still think Philly is going to go to the finals. That's just where I am. But most people think it's going to be the Nets. Who is the best team in the league right now? Who wins the championship in your mind?
I hate to say it. I need to see. I've come around to the way Stephen A. has said it. AD's got to be 100%. He can't be 90%. Guys, and I hear what you're saying about the Sixers, Mace. Ben Simmons is playing out of his mind. Like, people don't even realize how great he's been this year. And Embiid also. Embiid's the MVP of the league to me. You really want to talk about MVP of the league? I'd say it's Embiid.
Wait a minute.
You take Embiid as MVP
over LeBron?
Well, in the regular season so far, yes. Wow. Embiid is the best offensive and defensive player so far, and his team has the best record in the conference. And they can't win without him. Guys, Embiid is like, he's 30-11 and whatever with blocks. And if you've really been watching him, there have been moves he's made where I think it's a guard or a forward. I'm like, wait, that's too big. That's Embiid. He's taking step back mid-range shots off the dribble, like taking guys off the dribble where you're like, that's not Embiid. Yeah, it's Embiid. So those two guys, and also down in the post, like in the paint, who's going to stop him? And the Nets aren't built to stop a guy like that. That said, guys, the Nets offense is going to be, by the end of this year, the best offense in the history of American team sports by far. It's not going to be close. I can't believe what I'm seeing on offense with this team. There's never been ever three dudes who can all do the following at elite historical levels. Get their own shot and hit it from anywhere on the floor. From three-point, from mid-range, in the paint, under the basket, from the free-throw line, layups, whatever it is. There's never been that, ever. And then none of them are even the best shooter on the team. Joe Harris shoots better than all those guys. If and when they stay healthy, it'll be the greatest offense ever. And it'll be, like, by a lot. So how good does their defense need to be? And here's the scary thing. The defense is already way better than I thought it would be. They got it together in like 2 weeks. I got to give it up. The Nets are a whole lot.
I don't disagree with you about the Nets. I'm super high on them too. But Max, the thing that's going to be fascinating is, let's assume for the sake of discussion that Anthony Davis is 100%. The Lakers are the number one defensive-rated team in the NBA. So it's going to be a classic standoff. It's going to be a historically good offense against the number one defense in the NBA with a defensive coach in Frank Vogel who loves to scheme. And so the question remains, in a seven-game series, what wins 4 out of 7 games? Lockdown defense or unstoppable offense? And that's why it would be so fun if it was Lakers-Nets.
Yeah, I think, by the way, I'm with you, John. Like, now, the Jazz have replaced the Lakers since AD went down as the only top five offensive and defensive efficiency
right,
team.
Right.
But I'm with you. The playoffs the playoffs are a different animal. And I like the Lakers, if healthy, over the Jazz. And I might even like them still over the Nets because of what you just mentioned. And I had Coach Fizdale on the show the other day, and the matchup problems for LeBron and AD, they're such matchup nightmares because it's something that Coach Fiz pointed out. Like, I think about the Jazz and a guy like Royce O'Neal and how valuable he is defensively. He's a great defensive player. He's so valuable defensively. But what do you do with LeBron and AD when you need a guy at least 6'8" who can guard them? Like, you need multiple 6'8"-plus elite defenders to take care of them. So I think I agree with you still about the Lakers if they're firing on all cylinders.
Right.
But the margin for error for the Lakers now is zero. They have zero margin for error.
Right. Well, what do you guys think about this? There are certain players that we know are going to show up in big games with the game on the line. Kyrie is one. Durant is one. LeBron is one. Anthony Davis proved
Harden has traditionally not been one.
That's where I was going. Harden, Max, if you look at his postseason numbers, they're more like Paul George. You know, Paul George is unbelievable during the regular season. And then with the game on the line in the playoffs, he kind of wilts. Are we sure Harden is not more Paul George than he is Kyrie?
No, as a matter of fact, we should name it after James Harden. Like, you know, I once did a like seven levels of clutch hell, like Dante's Inferno,
right?
And on the top most level is Michael Jordan or Mariano Rivera. This guy is the greatest of all time, and under pressure, he consistently and absolutely gets better. How do you get better than the best ever, who's you, right? That's Mariano Rivera, Michael Jordan, something like that. The next level is this guy, and it goes down, right? So this guy is an all-time great, and under pressure, he's still an all-time great. Tom Brady, Derek Jeter, Kobe Bryant. They're the same guy under pressure that they are normally, which is always great. And then you can go down and look. This guy is normally excellent, but under pressure, he's an all-time great. Fernando Valenzuela or Curt Schilling or someone like that. And on down, you get a guy like Peyton Manning. He's the best ever in the regular season, but in the playoffs, normally he's actually not good. You know, that's a pretty low level of clutch hell. And James Harden is even more than Paul George. He's normally one of the best offensive players who ever lived. And in the playoffs, he is maybe an all-star.
Right.
You know, like, that's a big drop-off.
Yeah.
And more than Paul George, I'd say. So my only thing about Harden is, because I'm always rooting for guys like that to get it together, my hope for Harden is one of these years he can get it together, and I fear for the Lakers that it's going to be this year because he has so little burden on him now with KD on the team.
All right. Hey, Kellerman, Max, thank you very much for coming on. By the way, every single day, the Mason and Ireland pregame show hosted by Max Kellerman is on from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Max, thank you for coming on.
Well, thanks for having me on the pregame show. I really enjoy hosting it.
All right. Thanks, Max.
No, Max views us as the postgame show.
He says we're the postgame show. I say he's the pregame show.
You're right.
Yeah, I think I'm right. It's our show.
Well, that's the edge I'm looking for.
Yeah, exactly.
Max out there thanking people for listening. You need to call him the pregame show.
He is the pregame show. He is. All right, coming up now, 877-710-ESPN, anytime you want to jump in. And that's a fair question, though, what he was bringing up is, first of all, Anthony Davis needs to be 100% for the Lakers to win the title.
Right.
But are you scared of the Brooklyn Nets and the way they're playing? If they've got that three-headed monster, if they've got Kyrie and Harden and KD, are you afraid? Are they a real threat to upset the Lakers in the NBA Finals? 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, this is 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Brooklyn in the summer. Technically, if the Lakers do face Brooklyn in the finals, it will be the summer. It'll be late June, early July is when the NBA finals will be this year. So it could be Brooklyn in the summer. I still think it's going to be Philly, John. I'm riding with Philly. You and I have a wager. You buy me some Granddaddy Purple OG if I win the bet. I've got the field versus Brooklyn. Otherwise, I buy you a bottle of Camus. I believe that
Camus
is the official
Select.
Bet. Camus Select. Oh,
yeah, that's the
fancy
good stuff.
Fancy.
All right, let's see what I – Mace, I am concerned about the Nets. I think the Lakers and Nets are going to meet in the finals, and I think that assuming both teams are healthy – I don't think they'll play seven games in the playoffs leading up to the finals. I think that both the Lakers and the Nets would take care of business in six games or less on both sides of the bracket until they met in the finals. Here's Solomon in Lake Balboa. Hey, Solomon, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'm concerned about the Nets as well for three reasons. Number one, you know, John, you're right about defense, but you know, you can only hold an offensive team down for so long. If you're not putting the ball in the bucket, you're going to lose. And the Lakers are notorious for going into scoring droughts. Number two, the Nets are big down low. You've got DeAndre Jordan and KD if he's healthy. That's a big load. Number three, Lakers still do not have outside firepower like the Nets. They don't have a knockdown, drag out outside shooter. Maybe they'll get it before, you know, the season.
Yeah, we really don't have a Joe Harris. You're right.
Those three things, man. Well, let me address three strikes, you're out.
Solomon, let me address your second point. I don't even think DeAndre Jordan's going to be on the court when the game is on the line late. I really don't. I think they're going to go small. I think Durant's going to be their center, and he can't guard AD. I'm not worried about their size. Matter of fact, I would say the Lakers, when Marc Gasol and AD are on the court, the Nets should be worried about their size. I think it's the reverse. I think the other two points you made are fair. They're a better outside shooting team than the Lakers, and they have Joe Harris, who the Lakers can't leave open like they did when they played here a couple of weeks ago, and the Nets won the game. Joe Harris, I think, had six or seven three-pointers. I mean, you can't do that. But I don't think size – I think the Lakers' size is a bigger problem than the Nets' size is.
Thank you for the call, Solomon. Yeah, you know, the thing about the Lakers, if there is a flaw in the Lakers, assuming Anthony Davis is back and healthy, and we assume he will be, there's no reason to doubt otherwise. That is the flaw in the Lakers, is that the Lakers do go into tremendous cold streaks shooting from beyond the arc. And they've not been good from behind the arc now for the last 2 weeks, the last 2.5 weeks,
yeah,
right, John?
Last couple of games, they've been better.
They have been better last couple. But, I mean, in the last 2.5 weeks, they have really struggled from beyond the arc.
You can actually do the whole month of February.
All of February?
Yeah. They haven't been a three-point. They were very, very good early in the year.
Yeah, and that, to me, it regressed to the mean. They were very, very good, and it was unexpected guys. You know, KCP and Alex Caruso were, like, at the top of the league, and they regressed to the mean. You know, if there is a flaw, we don't have a Joe Harris. We don't have a knockdown guy that you can really count on.
To put this in perspective, what we're talking about, the Nets are the second-best three-point shooting team in the league. They shoot 40.5% from three.
Wow.
The Lakers are 25th. They shoot 34.8. So, you know, that would be a disparity. But if you look at inside the Lakers, you know, points in the paint, they just destroy teams.
Yeah, yeah. Let's go to Damian in Canoga Park. Damian, you're on 710 ESPN. What's up, man?
Hey, what up, guys? So I honestly think that the Lakers at 100% healthy, nobody, not even the Nets, can beat the Lakers. And I'm not even too sure the Nets will get to the finals, to be honest. I think they'll lose at the Eastern Conference Finals. But yeah, I don't think they're getting to the finals.
Yeah, I think they lose to Philly in the Eastern Conference Finals. That's the way I think that goes down. And I'm sticking with that as a position. Damian, thanks a lot for coming on. Appreciate it, man. Put you on hold. Make sure you get a Mason and Ireland t-shirt.
Yeah, the one thing about you guys predicting that Philly's going to beat Brooklyn, In a 7-game series, the fact that Ben Simmons can't shoot becomes a much bigger deal because you can focus your whole defense on everybody else and just leave Simmons out there and let him, you know, he's going to have to prove sooner or later he's going to shoot or his defender's just going to go stand in front of Embiid.
But here's the thing. They've got knocked out. I mean, they've got Danny Green. They've got Seth Curry. They've got Shake Milton. Those guys make three. I think Shake had like 6 threes last night. I mean, they've got guys who knock down threes. And to me, that covers up the flaw in Ben Simmons' game. And I still don't think there is a matchup in the league for Joel Embiid. Not a matchup in the entire league for Joel Embiid. That's why I'm sticking with Philly. If Embiid isn't healthy, it's a completely different story. But James Harden has historically not been a great playoff player.
Correct.
And he would need to demonstrate that he can get that done when the games are at their most difficult and at their highest leverage. All right, coming up next, John, to cancel or not to cancel a beloved children's storybook writer. We got that coming up for you next.
Not again, really.
Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, so John, there is... Now, you can say cancel. Cancel gets thrown around a lot now. But Dr. Seuss Enterprises has listened to and took feedback from audiences, including teachers, academics, and specialists in the field as part of a review process. And there are a number of books that will not be published anymore, including And to Think I Saw It on Mulberry Street and If I Ran a Zoo.
Why are they talking about canceling them?
It is because the Mulberry Street book includes an Asian person wearing a conical hat, holding chopsticks and eating from a bowl. Also, African-Americans are portrayed as monkeys in If I Ran the Zoo. Now, people are saying you're canceling Dr. Seuss. It's not canceling Dr. Seuss. These are just wildly offensive caricatures at this point.
Yeah, again, sign of the times. There were things that were more tolerable back in the 60s and 70s that just aren't tolerated now. It doesn't mean they were right back then. And I would guess some of those books, Mace, were written before the 60s, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, Dr. Seuss was writing before the 60s. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, every time they try and cancel somebody who was doing something that was, I don't want to say permissible during those times, but it wasn't, nobody was calling it
out. Wasn't critical, and people didn't criticize it.
Right. That's a very big reach for me. I would not cancel Dr. Seuss.
Dr. Seuss is not canceled, but it's okay to cancel those books.
You should cancel
those books.
Why?
They're racially insensitive, just
right.
Period.
Right, but I mean, I don't think anybody's running out and buying them. You have a choice. If you don't like somebody's book, if you don't like somebody's TV show, if you don't like the way somebody talks.
But portraying African-Americans as monkeys is inoffensive, as offensive, no matter who you are, no matter where you are.
So.
And taking that out of print absolutely makes sense.
Okay.
And needs to happen.
I watch, you know, a lot of old stuff on ESPN, and I was watching an old Ali Frazier fight. You know, they put the Ali Frazier fights. And Muhammad Ali, when they were hyping up the fight, used to call Joe Frazier a gorilla.
Right.
Should we not air that anymore?
Should we not air the... Well, no, those are real-life things. That's a real-life thing. Now, where were you watching that fight? Who goes back and watches those fights?
Well, they're on YouTube. I think I saw.
And you seriously went back on YouTube and you were watching this fight?
No, I watched it it was on ESPN2 like 5-6 months ago. Michael watches them too. We always text each other when the old Ali Frazier fights are on. And in some of the pre-gate press conferences, they would, you know, just to pump up the fight, they would do it. There's stuff like, Mace, you couldn't air All in the Family today. All in the Family.
I actually disagree with that. All in the Family really? Can air today. Sure.
Yeah, you're
because
dead
the
wrong.
joke was always on the racist.
Right. But
who was,
some of those things,
who was Carol O'Connor?
Some of those things he said were so not acceptable in 2020 that you couldn't air it.
Yeah, but that's different. We were making fun of him.
Right, but
the joke was always on him. He was out of touch, and that's why it was funny, and that's why it was instructive. We realized, oh yeah, you're a boob if you're still a racist.
Right, but you couldn't air it today. The content itself is too offensive. And so if that's your point, if you want to say, look, we can't be printing these books in 2020.
Which is what the estate has said, yes.
Which is fine if you don't want to print new ones, but I wouldn't.
It's
like,
not like they're killing green eggs and ham.
Right.
They're killing books I never really heard
and
of.
And I wouldn't, and it's just like anything else. If you wanted to go out and find an old copy, you can find an old copy of anything, of a record, of a, you know, of a TV show, of a movie. Yeah, if you don't want to issue any new printings, is that what you're talking
That's
about?
That's basically what they're going to do. Yeah, the estate says they're not going
to
do that.
I have no problem with that, but I wouldn't go out of my way to hunt down and destroy all the ones that have already been printed.
You can't do that. I mean, you can't, this is not, you can't go book burning.
So I have a question.
Yeah.
And this may be controversial because we work for Disney.
Oh, God.
But if you're going to go, you know, if the what they're saying about the Dr. Seuss stuff, which I completely agree with, and so does Chewie, apparently, I guess my question is, like, the depictions of the certain people and races in that book that are actually offensive, what about, like, the It's the Small World ride? Isn't that kind of the same thing?
Right, but they've had to clean that up over the years.
Well, I
have
went
they,
as
have
recently.
Have they cleaned it up?
Oh, yeah.
They more have, but I went as recently as a couple years ago, and I clearly remember, like, a. And again, I don't know if it was before or after they made changes, but I remember there's like a dark-skinned character with like a loincloth on. And that's similar to one of the offensive pictures in the, one of the
in
Dr.
The
Seuss
Dr.
books.
In the Dr. Seuss book, yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's you've got to – there's nothing wrong with updating things. There's nothing wrong with it.
Right. Like if you go to Pirates of the Caribbean at Disneyland.
I think they're fixing that one.
There's a bunch of stuff that could be construed as super offensive.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think they're fixing that stuff. There's nothing wrong with revising stuff. Now, I don't believe you should go back in history and like there's a warning advisory now on the Muppets.
Right.
Now, I don't understand what is offensive about the Muppets.
Apparently, some of the old episodes didn't take like modern issues seriously. Like stuff like domestic violence and, you know, like somebody's hitting a female Muppet on the head with a trash can lid and, you know, stuff like that. So that's why they put the disclaimer on it.
Yeah. And I guess that's fine, right? Isn't that okay to
yeah,
put a disclaimer
I would,
on
I,
it?
But by the way, if you want to get people who like kids who are watching the Muppets to not watch the Muppets, the minute they see the disclaimer, they're immediately going to find out why they put
well,
it
everybody,
on there.
Yeah, everybody. Yeah. Everybody's going to, huh, let me figure out exactly
why did they do
what
that? What's on that episode?
This.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, I wanted to bring something up here, John, because it's a thing that's going on right now.
Okay.
Cryogenics, the process of freezing yourself after you die in the hopes of reviving yourself.
This was a big deal with Ted Williams, the baseball
Correct.
Player. Yeah.
Yeah, this is a big thing again, and scientists are trying to challenge death with trying to bring eternal life to humans. Once somebody dies, the body is stored at 192 degrees below zero. Speaking to Daily Star professor, João Pedro de Mahels, who coordinates the UK, if we can successfully revive someone cryo-served even thousands of years from now, would that still be a success? Ted Williams had his head, as you mentioned, preserved when he died. The head is in a frozen tank in Scottsdale, Arizona. So, John, would you be interested in freezing yourself and coming back 1,000 years from now?
Zero interest.
Really?
None. You, I would imagine, would do it because
Hell
you're
yes.
you're about you. I don't want to
yes.
be. I don't want to be a burden to anyone else.
Don't so, you see what want to see what the world looks like in 1,000 years?
No.
Come on.
No, God, no. I'm happy when my time is up. I'm happy to go up or down. Hopefully up. We'll see.
21, 21, I guess it would be 20, 21-20
and 21, you'd be in the year 2120, you would be able to, right?
No, 1,000 years.
Oh.
Yeah, who would want to go ahead 1,000 years?
So it'd be 3020, right?
3020, yeah.
What if it was 50
years? Oh, I think it'd
be
fantastic.
Like, what if it was like Austin Powers, like 30 years? Would you do that?
30 years, yeah. I would do it. I would just do it. Like, they've got that thing where they're going to download your brain to a hard drive so that your brain survives and your thinking survives. Sign me up for that. That sounds fascinating. I'd be interested to be the guinea pig on that one.
Yeah, it ain't cheap.
No, it's not. It's not.
Yeah. But, you know, if I had a time machine,
yeah,
am I the only one here that would go back? You guys would all go forward?
No, I would go back.
No, I'd go back.
I would go back for sure.
I'd go back to like the 60s, 70s.
I'd want to go back.
Would you go back to the 60s?
Summer of Love, yes.
You don't want to go back there, Lindsay.
Why not?
Michael, if I gave you a time machine, Michael, would you go forward or back?
Oh, forward. Who wants to go back with no indoor plumbing? Are you kidding me?
Well, you don't have to go that far back. You could go to like...
No, 60s were not a good deck. Well, let's put it this way. No brothers would go back to the 60s.
Yeah, the 60s were sad and rough.
Yeah, the 60s
sad
were
sad and rough.
What about, Michael, you could be in 1960, you could be at the Rome Olympics where Ali won his gold medal.
Yeah, but I would come home and wouldn't be able to get a room.
Yeah, but remember,
the
Voting Rights Act didn't pass until 1965.
I grew up in the 60s, man. It was horrible for minorities.
Yeah, I would go. I think you're right, Michael. I would go forward.
Yeah, you go forward, man, because you want to see what technology is doing 50 years from now, 100 years from now.
Yeah, can you imagine what it's going to be like?
I know.
Sign me up for 100 years from now. That would be fascinating. Flying cars and cars that drive themselves.
Ireland, you'd have a robot out there hitting your ball for you.
What fun is that?
Well, you have a butler who brings you everything, so what fun is that?
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, in terms of recreation, I wouldn't want a robot like actually running for me or swinging for me or doing anything.
Mace will have a car that's being Mace, you'd have one of those Jetson cars that's flying.
Exactly. See, I'm a terrible driver. I think a computer would drive better than me.
Yeah.
John, you can attest to the fact that I'm a terrible driver.
Yeah, every time John Patterson gives you a new car, you wreck it.
He now leaves it with me for a year. It gets all dented and scratched and all that stuff.
What's the worst part about your driving? Just like going too fast, tailgating, what?
I would say it is
not very attentive.
Oh.
Yeah, I would say it's parking, honestly. I'm a terrible parker.
You can't parallel park?
Terrible at parallel parking. I do okay enough, but I'm that guy that keeps driving out and then driving back in and driving out and driving back in.
When a guy parks next to you, like your car's right next to the door and you can't open it?
Correct. Can't open it.
I hate people like you.
I dinged a truck like a month ago. I dinged a truck and paid the guy $300 cash just to make up for the dent. But, yeah, no, I'm a terrible parker. That's why I like a really small car. It makes it a little bit easier. All right, coming up next, Michael's hanging out today.
Yeah.
Coming up next for you, Rams and their salary cap, and what can they do during this offseason? Bill Barnwell is going to join us. Then the scoop comes up after that. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.